All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to contact us via email, you may do so by using one of the following email addresses. If you wish to contact me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, use the email address feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, the letter N as Nancy, then touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H. King, like the guy who sits on the throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. If you wish to contact Ruth, you contact her by using KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's again, K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611. R is Randy, U is Umbrella, T is Tom, H is Henry, at gmail.com. In your subject line, just put what you're in reference to, you wanting to get a hold of us, whether it's my email address about whatever it may be, or Ruth, you would put Bible prophecy, and then refer in your message to your subject line, and we will not only read your email, but we will get back in contact with you.
Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs, the Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang, he's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. The Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Groover takes the mics. on The Word of the King on 6 Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Is U-Haul open?
No. We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1 Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby, I will be there shortly. Hope you are ready. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. And Sister Ruth, who do we got with us so far?
No, we always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you. We have Lila, Emily, her dad, and me.
All right. Well, how you two doing, Emily and Lila? All right. Don't talk all at the same time here. Is there mics open?
Hey, Kenny.
There she
hey,
is.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah.
when you said, how are you and Lila feeling? I said, with our fingers.
Okay.
Our dad said, with our fingers,
our hey, that's not appropriate here, Lila.
You know that. All right.
That, you could say your fingers and toes on people, okay?
Okay. So, but tonight we've got a good show lined up for you two. Tonight we'll be finishing up.
Good. Hey, Kenny, I hate to cut you off like that, and sorry about that. But I want, if you don't mind, to give a little praise report tonight.
Go ahead.
Got a call earlier while I was headed over to Lila's. I took, didn't say nothing to nobody all day. I've been trusting to tell anybody. I got my call today on the 28th of November, 18 days after my birthday, I will have my bone marrow transplant.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Alrighty.
Lila, lower your tongue because when you talk loud, you're distorted, honey.
Like I said, praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, like I said, tonight we got a great show in store for you tonight. We've been studying about angels, and tonight we finished the project. We finished the series with the last installment of cherubim, which is a type of angel. They have wings. They have two wings. You've seen the angels ever that most people actually show you out there that have the two wings. Those are cherubs. And so that's the most common angel that people talk about that has the two wings. So they're cherubim. And we've been studying those and to see what their job is and their duties and that kind of thing. And so we'll be in part three tonight, finishing out the series on angels to see we've been learning about what angels do and that kind of thing. So we'll be finishing tonight. And then as we get into the midst of that study, we have Six pop up with to see how he does on the song and poem. He missed one time, had two at the start that he did good. He missed one, but does he get the right buzzer tonight? Or does he get the wrong one? If he does, there may be a chance if he gets the wrong buzzer that we may use sound effects that may affect those who have PTSD, et cetera. So just be aware of that. Then we finish up our study on cherubim. Then we go to Ruth and her Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight, Ruth?
He's coming again.
Ooh, that's a good one. He's coming again. We all should be looking.
Coming with Jesus, amen.
We all should be looking forward to that because he is coming again. And even those who die in Christ know that when he's coming again, they'll be raptured up out of the grave. So that's something to look forward to. So we'll find out exactly all the information about that. Then we close out. After Ruth's Bible prophecy, we open up the mics for our question of the day, which neither has a good or bad answer to it. It's all based upon your own opinion. And then after that, we close in prayer and then end with our Red Sylvian song of the day. Amen. So.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah.
Did you happen to mention to Ruth what two people we saw at the post office?
No.
Would you like me to tell Ruth?
Please do.
Rui?
Yeah.
Guess what two people Kenny and I saw while we were standing in line to mail that package today?
Oh, I wouldn't know, huh?
Pastor Tom and Mitzi.
Oh, how sweet. Oh, those are people that are really sweet and precious people. Okay.
They are, he looks really, really good. And I'm telling you, I found out something today, Ruth. Darn near floored me when Pastor Tom said it. Pastor Tom McCain is 92 years old.
Oh, wow. He's getting up there.
Yes, he's a year older than my grandfather Baldwin was when he passed.
I remember going to the funeral for him, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's nice that you got to see them. They're really nice people. I even like his preaching. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Ruth, I'm not going to go into detail about a certain something on the air, but I will tell you after the show.
Oh, all right, sweetie.
All right. Well, speaking...
I was told don't go elaborate on the air, so I will tell you afterwards.
And say hi to Lila, too, then. Okay.
All right. Well, speaking of the show, is everybody ready to get into it tonight?
Let's do it.
Let's rock and roll.
All right. So, everybody, grab your pen and paper and or your Braille writer if you need to. Okay, Emily, get out your Braille writer and get ready to take your notes on.
Since when do I have a Braille writer, Mr. Comedian?
Well, I thought you'd like to borrow mine. All right. Well,
I don't even know how to use one there, Kenny.
Well, that's what
you're
it's called learning. It's called learning curve. It's called learning curve.
Oh, the preacher learning curve.
Yep. So we're going to get busy here, get our notes out, and let's get started as we start studying on angels. Here we go.
For those of you called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Name one thing that you've learned about angels that you already knew before you started this series. Name one thing you've learned about angels that you already knew before you started this series. Amen. But right now, we're going to be concluding tonight our study on angels, specifically cherubim, and this is part three, and our first scripture context is found in Psalms 18, verses 1 through 12, Psalms 18, verses 1 to 12. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. And my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my substance, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub, and did fly. Yet he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and the thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire.
As we learned in the first two lessons about cherubs, they had wings, they had faces, feet, and, as we learned last week and repeated this week, once again, God uses a cherub for his transport system, that he flies upon a cherub. Amen. And so they fly. Amen. All right. Our next scripture context is found in Psalms 80, verses 1 through 5. Psalms 80, verses 1 through 5. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure.
And once again, we find God dwelling between the cherubim, and it's talking about the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. Our next scripture context is found in Psalm 99, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 99, verses 1 through 5. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy.
And here we have another reference to God being between the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. All right. And our next scripture context is found in Isaiah chapter 37, verses 15 to 20. Isaiah chapter 37, verses 15 to 20. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries. They have cast their gods into the fire, for there were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stones, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only.
And we find, once again, a companion scripture to what we learned in a previous lesson about Hezekiah laying out these letters that he was given by this king, Sennacherib, who is making threats against Hezekiah, the king of Israel, and saying, well, we're going to beat you up, blah, blah, blah. And he's saying, look, basically, God, you got mail. And I said, basically, in my previous comment, which I make again here today, just like when you got overdue electric bills or whatever and you're not sure where the income's coming from, lay them out before the Lord and say, Lord, you got mail. Amen. All right, our last scripture context before Six has to guess our message in song and poem is found in Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with linen with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went to and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. The Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that he done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man among whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slam, or slain. Go ye forth, and they went forth and slew to the city.
Once again here we find God being above the cherubim in the temple. Amen. All right, and so far what we've found, all of these scriptures so far tonight and through the two previous lessons about cherubim, they have faces, wings, feet, they fly, and they're God's transport system. Amen. All right, but now it's time to turn the mic over to Six to see if he could tell us what the message is, the common message, between this song and this poem. Amen.
Thank you. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. The Bible tells me in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The world is looking for Christians, looking for men, women, boys and girls who will allow the invisible to become visible. God is a spirit. We that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Christendom gives opportunity for self-examination. Yes, my brothers and sisters, we are created with the ability to stretch our hands to him. I do believe, I now believe, that Jesus died for me. And through his precious blood, I shall be made free. I do believe for comfort in the time of sorrow. Father, I stretch my hands to thee for relief in the time of suffering. Father, I stretch my hands to thee for guidance in the time of decision. Father, I stretch my hands to thee for protection in the time of danger. Father, I stretch my hands to thee for courage in the time of fear. Father, I stretch my hands to thee for strength in the time of temptation. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. I do believe, I now believe.
Passing through his church in the middle of the day, decided to pause by the altar and see who had come to pray. Just then the back door opened. A man came down the aisle. The minister frowned as he saw the man hadn't shaved in a while. His shirt was kind of shabby, and his coat was worn and frayed. The man knelt. He bowed his head, then rose and walked away. The days that followed, each noontime came this chap. Each time he knelt just for a moment, a lunch pail in his lap. Well, the minister's suspicions grew, with robbery a main fear. He decided to stop the man and ask him, "What are you doing here?" The old man said, "He worked down the road. Lunch was half an hour. Lunchtime was his prayer time for finding strength and power. I stay only moments, see, because the factory is so far away. As I kneel here talking to the Lord, this is kind of what I say. I just came again to tell you, Lord, how happy I've been since we found each other's friendship and took away my sin. Don't know much of how to pray, but I think about you every day. So, Jesus, this is Jim checking in." The minister, feeling foolish, told Jim, "That was fine. I told the man he was welcome to come and pray just any time. Time to go, Jim smiled, said thanks. He hurried to the door. The minister knelt at the altar. He'd never done it before. His cold heart melted, warmed with love, and met with Jesus there. As the tears flowed in his heart, he repeated old Jim's prayer. I just came again to tell you, Lord, how happy I've been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. I don't know how much of how to pray, but I think about you every day. So, this, Jesus, this is me checking in. Past noon one day, the minister noticed that old Jim hadn't come. More days passed without Jim. He began to worry some. At the factory, he asked about him, learning he was ill. Hospital staff was worried, but he'd given them a thrill. The week that Jim was with them brought changes in the ward. His smiles, a joy contagious. The head nurse couldn't understand why Jim was so glad when no flowers, calls, or cards came. Not a visitor he had. The minister stayed by his bed. He noticed the nurse's concern. No friends came to show they cared. He had nowhere to turn. Looking surprised, old Jim spoke up, and with a winsome smile, the nurse is wrong. She couldn't know that in here all the while, every day at noon, he's here. A dear friend of mine, you see. He sits right down, takes my hand, leans over and says to me, I just came again to tell you, Jim, how happy I have been. Since we found this friendship and I took away your sin, always love to hear you pray. I think about you each day. And so, Jim, this is Jesus checking in.
All right, Six, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
I would say the common thread is if you don't know Jesus, get to know him. And even the song says, stretch out the hand to Lisa. That's his way of praying. Even if he didn't know God, he's calling upon him. And even the preacher who went to school to be a preacher still doesn't know everything about the Lord Jesus. So they both found a friend in him. And Jesus was there, and apparently when Jim was in the hospital and they thought nobody came to see him, Jesus was there. So that trumped anybody that could have came to see him. So I think call on Jesus and get to know Jesus.
So you'd say the common message there is prayer, right?
So the common comparison with the song and poem is prayer. No matter how you do it, if you stretch out your arms, if you just say Jesus, that's acknowledging him, and that's prayer. You don't have to know how to pray. There's really no set way to pray, but the goal is to acknowledge him.
Well, you are 100% correct. We are talking about prayer in both instances. You kind of really got into it tonight, but that is definitely what we were talking about.
Yeah, so that is great. You know, get to know the Lord, and he's right there. All you got to do is call on him. He will never send you the voicemail. He always answers your calls, no matter what time of day or night. He's there.
For sure, for sure. And right now, we're going to pause here about the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. All right, we're back and want to remind those that called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number 1. Join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast. You can ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Name one thing that you've learned in this series that you already knew before this series. Name one thing that you've learned in this series that you already knew before this series. Amen. But right now it's time to get back into our study of angels, which is our last week studying angels. And we're going to be studying and finishing up on cherubim, part 3. And our next scripture context is found in Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 1 through 22. Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 1 through 22. All right, Ruthie, you get a good swig of your coffee. Take us there.
Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man, clothed with linen, and said, go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now, the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court, as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh. And it came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubims, and he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof, and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. And when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub, and another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was as the color of a beryl stone. And as for their appearances, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went. Their whole body, and their backs, and their hands, and their wings, and the wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that they four had. As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel, and everyone had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. Second face was the face of a man. The third was the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Chebar. And when the cherubims went, the wheels went by them. And when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. When they stood, these stood. And when they were lifted up, these lifted up themselves also. for the spirit of the living creature was in them. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Chebar, and I knew that they were the cherubims. Everyone had four faces apiece, and everyone four wings, and the likeness of the hands of a man was under their wings. And the likeness of their faces was the same faces which I saw by the river of Chebar. Their appearances and themselves, they went everyone straight forward.
Now here we find a specific type of cherub, angels, that not only did they have their wings and their hands and that kind of thing, but they also had a wheel that followed them. And whatever they did, the wheel did. If they went up, if they mounted up into heaven and they flew upward, the wheel went upward with them. If they landed and they stood on their feet on the ground, the wheel stood right beside them. So basically, wherever they went, the wheel went with them, is what it's saying. Amen. But these are the only ones that have this wheel with them. But most cherubs do not have a wheel. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. Ezekiel 11, verses 22 through 24. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Then did the cherubims lift up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. Afterwards, the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea, to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me.
And once again, these special cherubs that have the wheels are mentioned again. Amen. Our next scripture context is found in Ezekiel chapter 28. Verses 12 through 19, Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 to 19. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, This saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy temperance, of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more.
And here we find a most unique cherub who covered the throne of God
but because he was lifted up with pride over his beauty, he was kicked out. This cherub was called Lucifer, who became Satan. So we now know that Satan was a cherub angel. We know what type of angel he was. He was a cherub. So a little Bible trivia for you. If you're ever asked what type of angel Lucifer was, he was a cherub angel. Amen. Now our next scripture context is found in Ezekiel chapter 41, verses 15 to 26. Ezekiel chapter 41, verses 15 to 26. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And he measured the length of the building over against the separate place, which was behind it, and the galleries thereof on the one side, on the other side, 100 cubits, with the inner temple and the porches of the court, the doorposts and the narrow windows, and the galleries round about on their 3 stories over against the door. Sealed with wood round about and from the ground up to the windows, and the windows were covered. To that above the door, even into the inner house and without, and by all the wall round about, within and without, by measure. And it was made with cherubims and palm trees, so that a palm tree was between a cherub and a cherub, and every cherub had 2 faces. So the face of a man was towards a palm tree on the one side, and the face of a young lion towards the palm tree on the other side. It was made through all the house round about. From the ground unto above the door were cherubims and palm trees made, and on the wall of the temple. The posts of the temple were squared, and the face of the sanctuary, appearance of the one as the appearance of the other. The altar of wood was 3 cubits high, and the length thereof 2 cubits, and the corners thereof, and the length thereof, and the walls thereof were of wood. And he said unto me, This is the table that is before the Lord. And the temple and the sanctuary had 2 doors, and the doors had 2 leaves apiece, 2 turning leaves, 2 leaves for the one door, and 2 leaves for the other door. And there were made on them, on the doors of the temple, cherubims and palm trees, like as were made upon the walls, and there were 6 planks upon the face of the porch without. And there were narrow windows and palm trees on the one side, and on the other side, on the sides of the porch, and upon the side chambers of the house, and 6 planks.
And here we find a prophecy of the future temple. Once again, as in the previous temples, we find cherubim on the walls. Amen. And our last scripture context of the evening and of this series is found in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. And when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always with the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But the second went, the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people.
And here we find that, first off, Ruthie gave us 2 extra verses to think about, but mainly that it talks about and it speaks about the first tabernacle that was first created by Moses, and it's talking about the cherubim being over the mercy seat. Amen. So, what did we learn? Basically, that cherubs, first off, have faces, wings, feet, and they are God's transport system. But also, we did learn tonight that Lucifer, who became Satan because of his beauty, he fell because of his pride, he was a cherub angel as well. Amen. But now I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press number 1, join the conversation, especially at the end of this broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Name one thing you already knew about angels before this series that you learned about during this series. Name one thing that you already knew about angels before this series that you learned during this series. Amen. But right now we're going to pause for a few messages about station ID and a few other things, and we'll be back with you after a few moments. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs. The Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. The Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you. Is U-Haul open? We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Trucking of Astabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Astabula. Blind Trucking of Astabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you.
Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Jason is he's coming again. At the beginning of the Franco-Prussian War in 1870, a handsome young lieutenant in the Prussian army promised the beautiful German girl to whom he was engaged to be married that he would return after the war was over and make her his lovely bride. And they would go to a delightful little cottage to make their home together, would live as husband and wife. On their last visit together, the anxious soldier assured the young lady of his return as they pledged their love one for another. After almost 2 years of bloody, murderous fighting, and suddenly the war was over and the victorious troops returned to Berlin and began entering the city in a triumphal procession of victory. Standing near where the troops would make their entrance was Julie, the little German bride-to-be, together with the many thousands of other well-wishers who had come to welcome the soldier boys home. She was there to greet her lover, that they might go to that cozy little cottage that is to begin their life as husband and wife, sweethearts together. But such true happiness would never be hers, for her betrothed lover's body was sleeping under the green velvet of the foreign land, marked only by a single white cross. As she stood patiently searching the drawn faces of the incoming marching soldiers with choked emotions, Julie was overheard to say, "He must come. He promised me he would." For 40 long, weary years, day after day, in all kinds of weather, heat or cold, rain or shine, she was at that same corner, eagerly waiting for her husband-to-be to return to her. As she was faithfully standing there one day, she suddenly became ill. Her mind snapped because of the great disappointment, and she had to be taken to a hospital in a semi-conscious condition. Everything that could be done for her was of no avail. She died within a week, a sad and disillusioned old woman, terribly disappointed and saddened. Among other things, Julie actually died of a broken heart. Her lover never returned for her as he had promised. The unexpected rigors of a deadly war had prevented him from doing so. Thank God, although we have been waiting for our great lover, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come back, even though he has been gone for a long, long time, almost 2,000 years, yet we know he will not disappoint us. Soon, very soon now, he will return. He's coming again. We have that solemn promise from God's word. Scripture, "I go to a prayer, a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." John 14, verses 2 and 3. This could also be a comfort to people who just lost someone in death. Scripture, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Acts 1:11. Within the preceding three verses of Scripture is contained the second greatest subject in all the Bible, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I agree. Praise the Lord. What does the Bible teach concerning the second coming of Christ? Well, the express purpose and aim of this particular lesson is that we might answer questions concerning Christ's second coming in such a manner that even a child may understand and tell others. The second coming of Christ is something God wants us to know and understand. The antiquated subject at hand is not a new one by any means. The second coming of Christ is mentioned in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, the book of beginnings. Practically every Old Testament writer referred to either the first or second coming of Christ. Every writer in the New Testament, without exception, mentions the second coming of Christ. One out of every 18 verses and 216 of the 260 chapters of the New Testament deal with Christ's inevitable return. From these figures, you can see the importance of the Holy Spirit using the scriptures placed upon Christ's second coming. Therefore, a brief but concise study of the return of Christ can prove very profitable to all of us. It'll be time well spent for each of us. Pray earnestly that God will bless this precious truth to our hearts in a very effective manner so that many thousands who shall read or listen to this message, maybe have somebody read it to them, will have a better understanding of Christ's return, as well as a burning heart's desire for its ultimate fulfillment. To begin our discussion, may we turn back to the clock of time. Let's go back 3,500 years, the date, before Christ or B.C. 1520. Living at that time is what we today commonly call the Bible lands, was a man by the name of Job. Concerning him, the word of God says, and that man was perfect and upright, and he feared God and eschewed evil, shunned wickedness. Job 1 and verse 1 in your KJV Bible. Okay, now in reading the book which bears his name, we find Job had quite a lot to say about the second coming of Jesus Christ, though it was a long centuries away. Scripture, for I know that my Redeemer Christ liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job 19:25-27 in your KJV. Now, number one, my Redeemer liveth. The sleepy little town of Bethlehem was profoundly stirred one night, many centuries ago, by the birth of a tiny babe. The bells of both heaven and earth pealed forth the long-expected news that God's Son had willingly taken off his princely robes of heaven and put on the mortal robes of suffering human flesh. He purposely left his celestial palace in glory to come down to an unsympathizing world to dwell for 33 years among sinful, wicked men. This little babe lying there in the crude manger was the Christ child Jesus. It was he who had been promised to the world 4,000 years earlier in the golden dawn of human history. He finally arrived to fulfill the spiritual needs of wayward, lost mankind. Most of Jesus' humble childhood was spent in the little town of Nazareth, which was located in the northern part of Palestine. He was a kindly child. He lived close to his people. His mother loved him very dearly. She cherished the secrets of his virgin birth within her heart. Other than from a few simple statements by the writers of the four Gospels, we know nothing of Jesus between the years of childhood and the time he began his public ministry, except the scriptures say, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Luke 2:52, KJV. Then at the close of these 18 silent years, we see Jesus entering into his arduous ministry to complete the redemptive work he was sent to do. The limited scope of his God-directed three-year ministry can best be summed up in a scripture which Jesus read publicly while attending the synagogue in Nazareth one Sabbath day. Scripture, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke 4:18-19. Jesus' short, busy life was filled with nothing but good in behalf of his fellow man, yet during his ministry he was hounded day and night by his persecutors. On every hand, they tried to trick him into a situation where they would have legal grounds to condemn him and his ministry. Finally, after many unsuccessful attempts on his life, he was arrested in a cowardly manner, tried in a mock trial, where he was unjustly condemned by a lawless mob to a cruel death on the cross, the most severe form of capital punishment known to man. While hanging in agony on the cross and suffering excruciating pain, he proved to the world that he was God, the Son, by asking his heavenly Father to forgive them, his enemies, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. It's human to want revenge, but it is godlike to forgive. Jesus forgave. This one act, as he was dying, proved that he was above the common level of mere human beings. After he had been abused, humiliated, mistreated, and put to open shame as a common criminal, the sun hid his face. The earth was darkened, and the veil of the temple, which separated God and man, was rent in two. In the midst of the earth-shaking scene, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost and sent his spirit back to heaven. God's plan of salvation was completed there on the cross of Calvary once and for all time. The barrier separating heaven and earth was removed for all time. A new plan for sinners was put into operation. Jesus, who knew no sin, died a sinner's death that we, the ungodly, might have eternal life. He became the door of entrance into the kingdom of God, John 10:9. In the KJV, praise the Lord. Just before the sun set beyond the western horizon that day, signifying a new day, the Jewish day began at sunset, Joseph of Arimathea, a good man, received the body of Christ from the Roman authorities. Under his careful and loving direction, Christ's body had been taken down from the cross, wrapped in a snowy white linen, and laid in a magnificent new sepulcher, which Joseph had prepared for himself. Upon the first day of the week, signifying a new order of things, after Christ had been dead for 3 days and nights, Jesus laid aside the straining bonds of death and came forth from the tomb very much alive. Praise the Lord. During the next 40 days, he appeared to more than 500 people on 12 different occasions, proving to the world that he did rise from the dead, proving to doubting mankind that he was the resurrection and the life, and still is, praise God. At the expiration of the 40 days after his resurrection, the scripture tells us that Christ gave his disciples the apostolic commission, ordering them to evangelize all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, Luke 24:47. Afterwards, he was taken up, Acts 1:9, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Peter tells us that Christ is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him, 1 Peter 3:22. This means that our Lord is now sitting at the right hand of God the Father in the third heaven, with the whole creation and universe subject unto him. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 18, John records from his Patmos vision the words of Christ, "I'm alive forevermore." Praise the Lord again. Wow, we could get it real excited now. Therefore, Job was perfectly right and had every logical reason to declare 1,500 years before Christ's birth, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Christ does live. He's very much alive today, praise the Lord, too. "He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." There's much discussion among the learned theologians of our day as to the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. There are many theories and ideas regarding the subject. They are too varied to list at this time. The bookstores are filled with volumes proposing to unlock the mysteries of the subject. Why there is all of this extension discussion, I do not know. Always been taught to believe the Bible as it was written. Of course, we have those who believe you must tear the Bible apart, give it a thorough inspection, eliminate unwanted portions, and reassemble it. Get over it. That's crazy. And when it's reassembled, it doesn't mean what it did in the first place. We call this progress new versions of the scriptures. Well, sorry, buddy, but I go by the King James only, and if you get any other version, don't read it. And I'll tell you later why. Only a skeptic with a weak, unbalanced mind would endeavor to disprove the Bible. We must stand or fall on the Word of God. That is the Christian's first, last, and final authority. The Bible, God's Word, is the only book in the entire world with all the answers to all the world's questions. It's truth. That's it. To substantiate the second claim of Job, "He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth," we have three verses of scripture in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 1:31-33, that very decisively verify Job's belief in the second coming of Christ. Within those three verses are the seven shalls of the Bible. Nearly every Bible student is familiar with them. Here they are. Now, you'll probably know this, okay, so let's go for it. 1, shall conceive in thy womb. 2, shall call his name Jesus. 3, he shall be great. 4, shall be called the Son of the Most High God. Well, we knew that. It's cool. Before we go any further, I should like to ask you, did these four mentioned shalls actually come to pass? You say, they surely did. 1, Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary. 2, his name, among many others, was Jesus. 3, he was great. No other person ever matched his greatness. 4, on several occasions, he was acknowledged as the Son of God. Therefore, upon the authority of the inspired Word of God, we know that these four shalls have come to pass as they were prophesied. Now, let's look at the remaining three shalls. 5. Sell, give unto him the throne of David. 6. Shall reign over Israel. 7. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. 4 of these 7 shalls have taken place. Don't you think it's good sound reasoning to believe that the remaining 3 shalls will come to pass as the scriptures say they will? They must come to pass or else we can't accept any part of the Bible. Well, see, we know we have to accept the Bible because it is true. Now, the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible through men. Therefore, all of it is true. All of it must come to pass as prophesied or else don't believe any of it. Well, we do believe it. I got no doubt. Some skeptic may ask, well, is that all the proof you have that Jesus Christ is coming back? No. The cherished doctrine of such importance is predominantly taught through the entire scriptures. We read in the Old Testament in the book of Zechariah. Here we go. And his feet, human form, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. And the Lord Jesus shall be king over all the earth. Zechariah 14, 4 and 9. Job, who lived 3,500 years ago, had the spiritual insight to make such a far-reaching prophecy in the book which bears his name. Therefore, we who live today have the same spiritual insight to help us believe and rely upon God's word, and you sure can. The scripture tells us he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. The same Jesus shall also come in like manner. Acts 1, 9 and 11. Job knew that Christ would stand in the latter days upon the earth in human form. Christian friends, isn't it comforting to know with Job of old that Christ is coming again? Praise the Lord. Time is short. It's later than we think. The church age is coming to a close. Christ's coming is near. Getting all excited, I tell you. This is really good. Number 3. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, Christ, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. In my inquisitive imagination, I can hear someone asking, how can that be? Job had been dead for many hundreds of years. His body had disintegrated long ago. How's he going to see the second coming of Christ? That's true, but don't forget that Job died looking forward to Christ's coming. Brother and sister, that's what counts, looking for his coming. The promise in the scripture is, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, Hebrews 9:28. Reviewing Christian history, we see that many of the distinguished leaders of Christ's church have died. Just to mention a few, such men as Apostle Paul, Simon Peter, Martin Luther, the father of the Protestant Reformation, Charles Wesley, the great Methodist preacher who, with his brother John, founded the Methodist Church, Dwight L. Moody, the earth-shaking evangelist who was used so mightily of God, have all gone to their heavenly reward. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands who would be included in this list, but space will not permit. They've all departed this life. The wonderful thing concerned with their departure is that they fell asleep, looking forward to Christ's coming. Because they were looking forward to seeing Jesus again, they're going to be raised up out of the grave at the first stage, Christ coming in the air of Christ's second coming. Scripture, behold, I show you a mystery. We, born again, shall not all sleep, die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must, because of the new birth, put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 53. Some are not versed in the scriptures, so ask, how could that be? Well, scripture, thou fool. But thou sawest ends not quickening, except it die. And that which thou sowest, that sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So also is the resurrection of the dead in Christ. It is sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15, 36 to 38 and 42 to 44. Now, scripture, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, living unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent or proceed or go ahead of them which are asleep, died in Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout,
with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, Christians still living, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:15-18. Even though many believers have fallen asleep, and others will before Christ comes, yet all Christians born again are going to be raised up out of the grave when Jesus Christ comes back for his own. Amen and hallelujah. Just as Job longed to be seeing his Redeemer, we today have that deepest of desires also. Believe that the supreme and fondest anticipations of every true child of God is to look into the face of him who gave his sinless life for us. By way of consolation and comfort, may we refresh your prophetic memory by reminding you that Christ says he will come back when the world in general is in a state of utter confusion and disorder. For instance, 1, peace taken from the earth, 2, wars, 3, rumors of wars, 4, men being killed in battle, 5, kingdom rising again, state of Israel, 14, world vigorously preparing for another war. Okay, now read your daily newspapers, magazines, and stuff, and so forth for proof of these. I wish they'd put down more time when people get saved, though. This system is in exactly the perplexing situation that Christ said it would be before he returns to claim his own. A few of the scriptures that substantiate this are Genesis 6, verses 5 through 13, Joel 3, verses 9 through 14, Luke 17, verses 26 through 30, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, Revelation 3, 8 and 10, and Revelation 6, 5 through 6. Even though all the preceding mentioned conditions are in existence, plus many more at this writing, yet we have the following scripture to act as a spiritual equalizer, or else we would lose our minds. Scripture, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, that's Christians, lift up your heads. Don't be discouraged, for your redemption, translation, draweth nigh. Luke 21:28, KJV. During the dark, anxious days of the struggle for Italian liberality in 1860, people generally looked upon Garibaldi, the Italian patriot, as their deliverer. Groups of prisoners being hurried along the streets to dark underground dungeons were cheered by understanding friends whispering in their ears, "Take courage, Garibaldi is coming." Timid but freedom-loving men would steal out noiselessly at night and chalk on the village walls and pavements, "Garibaldi is coming." When the electrifying news of this imminent approach to a city or town was announced, the grateful people, as one thunderous voice, would break into a rapturous shout, "Garibaldi is coming." Apostle Paul speaks of this world as being bound and enslaved, the whole of creation groaning, desiring to be delivered. Well, please know, dear listener, that a greater deliverer than Garibaldi is coming to free God's people. The blood-bought throne, the desire of God-feeling people is to the way. Jesus is coming. He's coming again. The same Jesus shall so come in like manner, Acts 1:11 in your KJV. Next lesson will be 10 Jewish girls.
And we want to thank you, Ruth, for that great information about he's coming again. Amen. But right now we want to pause for a little station ID and hear about the great programming here, the Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific.
On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week. What you really want? The Six Eyes Radio Network.
Now that we're back, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Name one thing about angels that you knew before this series that you learned about during this series. Name one thing you learned about angels before this series that you learned about angels during this series. Basically, it was confirmed during this series, something you already knew. So it's that time. It's open mic time.
All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
Well, we still got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you, Sister Lila, Sister M, M-Stat, and me. Excuse me.
All right. Well, we're going to start out with Sister Emily.
No hurt me tonight.
Okay.
I said no hurt me tonight. I just hurt myself.
Okay, but, okay, Emily, something that you already, basically that the series on angels confirmed for you, something you already knew about angels, but when we went through the series, it basically confirmed what you already knew.
I didn't really know much before.
Okay. All righty. Did you have any questions or comments?
No, it's good tonight. Because I just hurt my elbow.
Oh. Okay. Okay, Lila, your turn. Hey, Lila, get your coffee.
I'm wondering if she fell asleep.
Either fell asleep or got herself muted. All right, so obviously she probably did fall asleep. Okay, Ruthie, your turn. Something that, basically something that we found during the series that you confirmed what you already knew.
Well, I didn't know a lot about angels before I started, and really, with a senior moment right now, I just can't get it together. So maybe it's my age or just weird things going on here. I don't know, sweet.
Well, actually, with me, there was two things that were confirmed of what I already knew. First off, cherubs having two wings. And number two, about the angels were messengers. So, all right. So, anyway, what we're going to do, we'll let whichever one of you want to take it for our closing prayer. Do you want to do it, Ruby?
I'll let Rui have it tonight.
And dear precious Lord, be with them and her problem with her arm, too, and take care of Lila and her new apartment. And there's an unspoken about a few people, too, including me, just not feeling well. But the Lord's on the throne, and I know you'll take care of it, precious Lord, so just hope everybody had a good time tonight. We love and praise your name. And also be with Kenny. He's been having a migraine tonight, too. So All right. We just want to praise and bless your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right. And just want to remind folks, of course, of our open programming tomorrow and, of course, our Sunday program, the Sunday Gospel Show, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Right here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Hope you'll join us for all that good programming. And here we go as we close out with this Red Sovereign song. We hope everybody enjoys, and we'll catch you later.
He's the keeper of my sunshine. In his hands he holds the key.